Are you insane?
They are insane!
You're in the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
Inaccurate.
But Red Frostin.
It does like you.
Mr. Kim.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
How you doing, Mike?
Here's Spock.
Oops!
I meant to say that it should be hauled away as garbage.
All right.
Welcome. Welcome, friends, to 2019. 2019 years. My name is Mike McCafferty.
My name is Kiernan McCafferty.
That's right. We have two generations of McCafferty's here again, here for your favorite podcast, voted number one by me. I just want to talk about Star Trek here on the Starburns. I don't know what it is. All right. So I'm here with my son, Kiernan, because we want to talk a little bit about the Orville. Isn't that right, buddy?
Sure.
All right. I forced him to do this. Now, we'll talk about some other stuff, but Kiernan, first of all, Kiernan has been, as he drops my tricorder, he's playing. So, Kiernan, you, for Christmas, what did you get for Christmas? You're holding one of the two things you got for Christmas.
Yes, I got an Eagle Moss Voyager and an Eagle Moss Equinox.
Okay, so the Voyager is obviously from Voyager, and the Equinox is from what?
Voyager.
What episodes?
Equinox.
All right, so there you go. So you have two eponymous ships, and what do you think?
Love them. I wish that we could be sponsored by Eagle Moss, because then they can give us some cool ships.
Well, maybe we'll contact Eagle Moss.
Maybe we should.
Well, give us your pitch for Eagle Moss. Tell Eagle Moss why you like this.
Why I like this? Oh, yeah. They're just great. They're accurate and they're great to hold. I mean, they're just so cool. And
well, describe them for our listening audience. Now, we're not being sponsored by Eagle Moss. I don't care. I mean, you know, buy them or don't or hate them. But what are you holding right now?
I'm holding Voyager and Equinox.
Well, how big are they?
They're about like half a foot, maybe.
Okay, so I'd say like about 4 inches long.
Yeah.
And what are they made out of?
Plastic and metal, probably.
Yeah, it looks like, I mean, it sounds like the top is metal and then the bottom part is like a plastic. Now, when Daddy bought, they used to have the old, in fact, do you have the die-cast metal Enterprise? Or no, you don't. That one's a plastic one. The Enterprise D? Well, that would...
No, that's metal.
Okay. Is it all metal?
No, it's like this.
Okay, yeah, the top is metal and the bottom is plastic.
I think actually this one's all plastic.
Okay, you also have, when you say that... So, Karen, we are not in a visual medium, so
oh,
as you're
doing... Sorry. I'm also holding The Pasteur, which I got for my birthday.
Which is in what episode?
All Good Things.
No, The Pasteur. No, I'm kidding. they all have to be the same. Okay, yeah. So when they first released some of these, they released an all die-cast metal TNG Enterprise D, and it was great. It was so solid state. It was like a Tonka truck. You could not destroy it, and it did separate. You had saucer SEPA, and it was great. It had little latches that you'd hook on. It was so cool. I had it for years. Maybe my dad still has it somewhere in a box somewhere back in Michigan, but we'll have to unearth that somewhere. All right, so that was some of the stuff you got. What else did you also get for Christmas?
I got... a Star Trek backpack, some Converse, and a lot of polos.
Okay. Now, are you going to use the backpack? You have a little bit of trepidation.
Yes, I am, actually.
Okay, good. Because it does have the insignia in the back. And Karen was a little worried about going to high school with a Star Trek insignia backpack.
Most of my good friends know that I am into Star Trek.
Okay, good. You also got a...
A phaser.
Yes, the TNG phaser.
Yes.
And then, of course, I showed you what that I already had. The same phaser. The exact same phaser.
I was about to sneeze, actually. So okay. That's why I was...
Well, go ahead. I won't stop you.
No, it stopped by itself.
All right, well, this is pretty compelling stuff here. So, so everything old is new again. My old Playmates phaser from 1992. I'm trying to sneeze.
It's not working.
This is
keep
so
going.
Fascinating. It's kind of cool to, like, he wants, you know, he got a phaser. I believe it's a type 1 or type 2. I can't remember. I think the Type 2, I think those are the bigger ones, slightly bigger ones. Type 1 was the little electric shaver one.
Oh, yeah, it's a Type 2.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Come on, it's a Type 2. Come on. But I actually like my Playmates a little better because it's a little more solid state, has a few more buttons on it. Mm-hmm. The new one that they have, that Kiernan got, the two buttons are just like they're molded into the plastic, so you can't press them. Mm-hmm. And it only cycles through three different sounds. Although my Playmates only has two sounds. One is the phaser firing, the other one is the car starting. Sounds like a car starting. So,
I like those.
All right, so that was his Christmas. Oh, you also got a weird Data doll too, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I did. I have two Data dolls now.
This one's like a weird, like die-cast metal steel doll.
Yeah, it looks really weird.
Like a strange tritanium alloy Data. all right, so this is only an episode about what Kiernan got for Christmas. Don't tap that button because. Because it vibrates and makes huge noises. Sorry. That's all right. All right. So we're here, though, and this kind of low-key. This is last day of winter break. He goes back to school tomorrow. And I'm burning through his last daylight hours so we can talk about the Orville. Not Star Trek, but talk a little bit about the Orville. So we had, after about a year, we had this cornucopia of episodes. We had two episodes in 1 week. So on Sunday, they showed the first episode, Jalolja. And then on Thursday, they showed Primal Urges, the first two episodes of the season. And Kiernan, overall, what's your opinion of these first two episodes?
Uneventful.
Uneventful. Okay. Okay. Well, let's talk about Jalolja. Jalolja is the one where Bordas has to return home to pee. Mm-hmm. Once a year, he has to go and pee. And meanwhile, the doctor, I can't remember her name, her son, one of her two sons, is getting in some trouble with some rascally red-haired boy who's making vodka, the replicators. And then a third thing is that the captain, Ed, what is his name? Ed Harris?
Mercer.
Ed Mercer. Captain Ed Harris is... He can't get over his first officer. What's her name? Adrian Pilecki is her name. That's the actress's name. But anyways, his first officer, which was weird. So like, if we dive into this, this was a very uneventful episode. Nothing happened. There was nothing of any sort of import or consequence. Bordas has to go and pee. It's sort of like kind of like a Klingon or a Vulcan ceremony. He has to return once a year to pee. Ceremonially invites everyone, and the Federation is, or the Union is like totally fine with this. Like, yep, sounds good. Whatever you decide, go ahead and do that. So Bordas, but it's a weird thing where like everyone has to bring a date, and everyone on the ship can't find a date. It's like a strange Valentine's Day episode. Maybe that's what this was. Maybe this is like a really weird repurposed Valentine's Day episode. Because the character, the Dark Matter first officer or science officer...
She wasn't even in the second
episode. She wasn't in the second episode. Like, Ed Mercer's like, oh, man, I'm so into you all of a sudden at the very end. And then, like, she's gone. It's like, now you're reassigned. So we have all these low-stake, no-stake storylines. Bordas does go. He goes and pees, which is kind of like a weird, vaguely sexual kind of thing. The doctor's kid... Isaac basically deduces that the other kid was the one behind getting the vodka after like one act of, oh no, it was your son who's the bad son. And then the first officer is dating the teacher. Very convenient that we have another, like we use him for two different things. And Ed is like creepy stalking her outside the ship in a shuttlecraft. Which could have been funny, but then he cloaks, which I'm like, wait, they have cloaking devices? What the hell is that? It's so weird.
They never even showed that.
They never show that. He just like cloaks, and then it became this kind of weird Abbott and Costello thing. You were there, you weren't. So a very strange, uneventful, uninspiring episode, which did everything wrong that the Orville did in the first season. These, if you could have picked, for me, and Kieran, maybe a back me up in this, if you could have picked all the things I didn't want to see in the second season, that was it. That was like everything. Episodes with no stakes, Ed Mercer still trying to pine for his ex-wife. I just don't care about this. All these relationship nonsense. I thought they did such a great job at the end of the first season getting rid of that whole will they or won't they hook up. Mm-hmm. You know, they came to this really adult decision of we don't need to be in it together anymore. Mm-hmm. And then instead, they walk it all back. And it's like, I still love you. Do you love me? I'm not going to answer that. You have feelings for me. And then at the very end, even though he's being totally irresponsible and a bad captain, he kind of like ditches her to fall in love with this weird dark matter woman. So the dark matter woman. So I was very much disappointed with that. And Karen, I mean, am I putting words in your mouth on this, or did you have the same feeling?
I was disappointed as well, but I felt like they could have done a lot better. And then I went back and watched all of the first few episodes, and they were so much better, and they were so much more Star Trek-y, and it was just such a weird...
Talking to the microphone.
Hello. It was such a weird change of pace from it. Like, I thought, I could have sworn that Seth MacFarlane would have taken out all of the stupid stuff, but he just made it worse.
He doubled down on all the weird sexual innuendo stuff.
And it's not even Star Trek anymore, really. It's just, it's a soap opera.
It was very soap opera-ish. That one's especially very disappointing. Uh-huh. I don't know if they just had like extra footage and they just like packaged it all together. If again, maybe like as I'm talking, maybe it was going to be their Valentine's Day episode that no one can find love. And then they're like, no, let's just put this one up first. Mm-hmm. But what a bad way. There was so much excitement, so much goodwill. And then you kind of like, I don't know, you botch it. So, and then we watched the second episode, Primal Urges. Mm-hmm. Kieran, what'd you think about that one?
I was actually a lot more disappointed with that.
Really? Okay.
I didn't like that at all. Like, I could see some slightly good qualities mm-hmm. in the first one. Like, it wasn't completely terrible. But this one, I just hate it. I hate it so much.
Wow, okay.
I think it's probably the worst one.
Okay, so as a brief recap, in Primal Urges, we have Bortus again. All Bortus.
Yeah,
all Bortus all the time.
Bortus episodes.
The internet is clamoring for Bortus.
Yeah, I know. They love Bortus.
I don't think they love Bortus, but I think, again, this is like... I am suspect about the ordering of these episodes, because it's like our Dark Matter girl is gone, and the captain and the first officer are again in this weird spot where it's like they kind of... forgot everything that happened the previous episode.
Yes.
But Bortus has a porn addiction. And we see not one, not two, but at least three different holodeck scenarios. Like graphic, not graphic, but very, the innuendo is very strong. It is very suggestive. And it's not appropriate. I mean, I get it.
It's not a family show anymore.
It wasn't a family show, and I was excited to show the boys this. I'm like, hey, boys, let's watch this. And you get three online porn episode, like, moments where Bortus is making love with these other mocklids, or what are they, mocklids, or? Mock?
Yeah.
Okay. The mocklids. And I would get it if it was one. Now we've seen, holodeck addiction before. With
yes.
With who?
Oh shoot! Oh my gosh! Oh no! I can't remember.
Barkley.
Barkley.
Okay. Barkley.
Lieutenant Barkley.
Lieutenant Barkley.
Barkley. Lieutenant Barkley had a hollow. What's holopsychosis or something like that?
Is that what they call it? Holopsychosis?
I think so.
Interesting.
Maybe I'm not. I could be wrong.
Well, he was basically playing on his fantasies. Of being much stronger, much more powerful.
But that was such like a better way of handling that.
Yes, go ahead.
It's just like, once they did that, they made it not a family show.
I have to tell you that we were watching it as a family with my 11-year-old, Caden, and my 14-year-old, Kiernan, as listened to on the podcast, friend of the pod, person you're listening to right now. And we skipped through the third fantasy.
Skip for through the second.
Through the second and the third. You're right. Yeah, we actually, because in the doctor's office and then the weird, like, on Risa kind of, somewhere out in Southern California, and, you know, whatever park they have in L.A. that they can afford. It was embarrassing. It was, I don't know what they were trying to go for, but they missed the mark so many times to the point where it was embarrassing. I had to skip through it. I don't think I've ever skipped through an episode that I was embarrassed of a Star Trek in front of my son or my family. This was one of them. And so I don't know. Here's the thing, and I'll tell Kiernan this because Kiernan is starting to get into the show. I was on The Invisible Man on the Sci-Fi Channel, now on Hulu, and he just started watching this. And Kiernan, when the internet was just starting out, this is interesting because it was the first time, especially on The Invisible Man in 2001, where they started listening to, and I've mentioned this before, they started listening to the fans. The writers started writing towards the fans. Mm-hmm. And saying, oh, they like these characters. They like this episode. They like it when we do this stuff. And they started writing towards it, which is fun, but it's also a trap because it spirals inward. The minute you start giving it to the fans and you start listening to their voices, people who are the loudest on the internet, not necessarily the most people, I don't know if Seth MacFarlane got weird intel from the internet or if he just said, I want to make it raunchy and funny and let's have lots of space sex.
I don't know what happened. I really could put a... I can't put an explanation on this because even that explanation just sounds like not him.
It's so strange. I mean, I
this is his thing. Like, if he wants to do a Star Trek and he can put like some like weird jokes in there.
Yeah.
And that's him. But this wasn't him.
It felt like the first season he had bought and paid for Fox saying, you know what? You've got a good show. It's not just a fan service show. This is a good show with good ratings. Do whatever you want. Take out all the dick jokes. Do whatever you want. And instead, he returns to this format, and it's even worse. So
I told that this before we started. I was like, oh my God, I really hope that the next episode is good, because I'm not sure how we're going to hold up.
Yeah, I saw some of the coming this season, and there were a couple of clips that we've already seen. I'm like, ugh, I don't know, man. I don't know if they've got anything... We'll see. I mean, the second half of the episode had a little more stakes to it, but even that was really bizarre. It's this planet which is breaking up. It had no analogous relationship to the first part of the story, which is just all porn addiction and Bordas breaking up and all this sort of nonsense. They find this civilization that's living underneath the planet. That has radio power, but it's that part of the story was a mess too. It didn't make any sense.
I hated that more than the first part.
Why did you hate that?
There's so much of it that it felt like they're asleep. There was so much of it that they felt like it felt like they were falling asleep while they were writing it. Uh-huh. It was just like they were so focused on the Prime Directive in the fifth episode and the 12th episode, I believe.
Yeah.
Because remember where they. The 12th episode was all about the sort of Prime Directive.
Now, their Prime Directive, is it that you have to have, like, warp technology? Is that...
It's like, yeah, quantum drive. It's the same thing.
Right.
And it's like this... and it's literally the same thing, and they ignore that.
They call up this planet, and they say, hey, your planet is basically evaporating. We see you're underground. They call them on a radio. And they're like, oh, yes, well, we never developed spacefaring ships. Boom, right there. End of communication.
Yeah.
That should be it. Like, oh, sorry, we're on the other side of the planet. Goodbye.
But then they tell them that they have advanced technology that can, like, power and, like, go through, like, space.
Who? Ed Mercer does?
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, and we have this advanced technology that can get you out of there. So we'll get you out of there as fast as we can.
It's so bizarre that they basically override the Prime Directive. And then there's only 75 people left on the planet. It's like, dude, okay, man, it's kind of a waste anyways, right? If there's like billions before it.
And I can live with that, but oh my God, I hated when they got on the planet and there was all these people and they're like, oh, the atmosphere is breaking down. We can only fit in 30 people.
Well, yeah, so there was, again, there are... A writer told me, says, you can use coincidence to get into trouble. You can't use it to get out of it. So Bordas is in trouble for doing this holodeck porn. He also gets a virus into the show, which actually...
Oh, my gosh.
Actually, that creature was kind of cool. That was
I like that. I like that creature. It looks...
It looked like a tardigrade, like a weird space tardigrade from Discovery.
It looked like it was practical effects, which I admired, because it didn't look all glossy and CGI.
They spent so much money on that, and not enough on, like, writing a good episode.
Oh, my gosh.
And I guess I'll never be writing on this show. But I, you know what? If I was on the show, I would have stopped them. I said, you guys, this is not good. Because, again, so Bordas is in trouble, and the only way that they get him out of it is that, oh, only two people on the ship can go to this planet.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's Isaac and Bordas. And so we'll have to do a couple of trips in one shuttle, even though this planet is breaking up. Hey, here's a question. You've got two pilots. Why don't you take two shuttles? Why don't you just do that? Because then you could take 60. Or maybe even 75.
Because that's good. And also...
Yeah.
It's just the most ridiculous thing that they had to let them all die. Because I thought that that's how they're going to redeem Bordas. With all of his porn addiction. That's how they're going to get him out of this. But then he just kills everyone.
Well, he doesn't... So he and Isaac, the only two people who can go over there. So like, oh, we have to send you over there because it takes two people to drive the ship. I don't know. It's like some sort of hot streets, double driving kind of situation.
And there's also another Mocklin.
I know. There's Qyburn or whatever, or whoever his mate is. Like, what? Pilot another shuttle, you know? I mean, so they get to this planet and it's like, oh, we all have radiation suits because sure, why not? You know, but. Oh, and then they get the thing. Oh, the ship's breaking. The planet's breaking up. We can only take one trip. This shuttle can only fit 30. It can only fit 30. So they draw by random lots.
And they're like, oh, that's wrong. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And they don't ever focus on that.
Isaac says it's wrong, and Bordas says, "I am glad I am not a robot." Like, what the heck? What is going on here? Whose show is this? And then they draw like send the young, the women and children, like do the Titanic.
Maybe Bordas could have. I don't know how they would have gotten out of this, but maybe Bordas's redeeming moment is that he could have sacrificed his seat for a child.
Yes. Well, as we saw, as we were looking at it, and if you check out our Facebook page, I just want to talk about Star Trek Facebook page. I did do a little bit of a I'll show Kieran this. There was a lot of room in that shuttle. There was a lot of extra room, and I'm sorry, but you could have put a lot of people there. So where is it? Put people here. There is so much space between where they're all sitting and Bordas and Isaac. Like, you could put people in between Bordas and Isaac. Like, you could stack them like cordwood. Like, if there was like, oh, I'm sorry, there's like 500 of us. And it's like, oh, well, we can take, you know, like 15 trips. That would make more sense than saying there's 75 of us. We only fit 30. You know, if there's a car, it's like, I'm sorry, this is a four-seat car. If you need to go someplace in emergency, if like, let's say like your house is burning down or like the, you know, like there's an earthquake, you can get 25 people in that car. I don't care. It's a clown car. And that was, it was just so, it's just these logic gaps and this kind of insulting, sorry, I burped there.
You guys look like you're
going to
cry.
I just wanted this show to be good.
It was, oh my gosh. I couldn't stand that. It was kind of disgusting, actually. The more I think about it, the more I'm just kind of disgusted by how terrible and how Bordas didn't learn anything. And at the end, which even got me even more angry, is that Ed comes up to him and says, you were being risky and unethical, and what you did there, I would never expect that from someone on a union ship. And then, like you said, down the flip of a switch, he's like...
you also you were fearless and selfless and amazing, and I love you. And so, nothing's going to happen. It was like... The writing is so ridiculous. And like he dresses him down, and then pause, and then dresses him up, I guess. So
I want to see who wrote this.
Yeah, so... Again, my ability to write for the show is going down. But you know what? I don't care. Like, you know, maybe I'll never write for the Orville, but if this is what they're going to do, they need me on this show. They need Kieran on the show. They need someone to put on the brakes and say, what are you doing? Who are you making this for? If you're making this for you, that's great. But I can't let my kid watch this anymore. I'm sorry. I mean, we'll give it another shot, but we were so excited to watch this. Kieran had been counting down the days, the weeks, the months.
I was loving that. Okay.
I mean, when the season premiere came out, he could have watched it early, but he waited for me to come home, and so we could all watch it together as a family.
Oh my gosh, Dad!
Is it Brandon Braga?
No, Seth MacFarlane wrote the first episode.
Oh, I saw that. I saw him write that one.
Okay, Wesley Wild.
Wesley Wild.
Okay,
Wesley. Oh. See, there's your problem right there. It's Wesley.
He is best known for writing and producing several episodes of the animated series Family Guy.
Okay.
There we go. It felt like it was just... I was... Okay.
Dear Seth MacFarlane, you pulled off some magic at the end of the first season of The Orville. You made a show which, by all accounts, should not have been good. A pretty good show. A pretty good approximation of The Next Generation. And you had people who wanted to watch it. You had a 14-year-old and a 50-year-old who wanted to watch it. For the love of God, don't botch it here. If you have any ability to edit any of that sexual nonsense out of it in the next, I don't know, like, what is it, 11 episodes, do so. If you need help, call me. Or call my son. Or hit me up at Twitter, at Mike McCafferty. Or stop by our Facebook page, where you can see all sorts of fun, wonderful stuff. So, all right. You know, it's funny because we did watch Bada Bing, Bada Bang. I watched the second half of it. Another holodeck episode. Also another sort of careless holodeck episode where I didn't realize they had two holodeck episodes in Next Gen and Deep Space Nine at the culmination of the Dominion War. They're losing and they're like screwing around with Vic Fontaine.
It's and I was thinking about it later on, and it's exactly like the first one.
But when
you're thinking about it, it's kind of swapped a little bit, and that's the only thing, is that Sisko's trying to rally them, but they're trying to rally Sisko in the end.
Yeah.
But see, this wasn't like the best episode, but I could watch that maybe 1,000 times, and I would like to watch that 1,000 times more than I watching the Orville's second episode.
Right. It's
a second season.
Well, it is interesting. These are all holodeck episodes. I mean, we could probably deep dive on that one at some point in time. It's interesting, having watched that, I didn't realize that came out before Ocean's 11, the remake. Because it is a heist movie, like, they're doing Ocean's 11. It's like, oh, no, Ocean's 11 is doing Deep Space Nine, bada bing, bada bang. But you're right, that is another no-stakes episode, light stakes, where it's like, oh no, this holographic program is going to lose this holographic bar and there's nothing we can do about it.
I know, that was kind of ridiculous, but it's just like, that didn't offend me. It was light and it was fine. The only part that I kind of was like, was the similarities to Take Me Out to the Holosuite.
Right.
That was the only part, but like, if I didn't watch that, it's a fine episode.
It's a fun, like, after seven seasons, it's fun to have your characters go out and cosplay a little bit. We've talked about this before with the Trouble with Tribble episodes, where it is just basically a fan fiction. Now, talking about the Orville and about Bada Bing, Bada Bang, they could have taken retroactively from the Orville, where this, for some reason, this virus, which started out in the Holosuite, has infected all of operations. And the only way to stop it is to go into that program and play it out where you get rid of, Frankie Eyes or whatever his name is. Frank the Eyes. What is his name?
Yeah, that's Frankie
Eyes.
And
Mr. Zemo. And, you know, it was a lot of fun, but the stakes were pretty low. Not as low as the first episode of second season of Orville, but you know,
But it's good to have those.
Those are fun, too. Those are absolutely fun. But again, they already had one. They had Take Me Out to the Holosuite, which had zero stakes. I mean, go fight the war, guys. I mean,
that was once you remember that, it should have been in earlier.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It has its merits in being in the end. But also, you have to understand that this is like the Dominion War.
I know.
They're like you said, they're losing.
Yeah,
they're losing the battle.
Now there are. I mean, it's funny. We're talking about this war, and we're talking about that, and there is always precedent. We just watched White Christmas. Oh my God, we're gonna link all of this together. Remember? Did you watch that with us?
Kane watched it.
Okay. So I'm thinking about White Christmas, and where Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye throw a show at the front lines, a Christmas show. But that's very specific. That's like, man, we have been getting our ass kicked all the time. Not like, come on, let's help Vic Fontaine. So there is precedent for having things to lighten the mood during wartime. You can't do it twice. You can't have a baseball game and a heist.
But I get that, but also they should have connected it to the Dominion War. At least said that, where this is the Dominion War, everyone's dying, but we should lighten the mood.
So yes, exactly. Or increase the stakes. So the Dominion, like a Dominion spy, shows up, infects the all the computers, with the exception of this hologram program. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a little bit like the Royale, where they have to complete this mission, right?
Yep.
So they have to go in and they have to complete it, and like maybe the program even like demands that Cisco's a part of it. And he's like, oh my God, like I so don't want to do this. Like it is almost like, okay, well, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this right. You mm-hmm. know, so there's more stakes to it as opposed to just kind of fun. Having said that, it's fun. And we would have never gotten Avery Brooks singing.
I can't remember. There was some reason.
The best is yet to come, I think. Is that what it was? Or?
The best is yet to come.
Which they lowered a whole octave for him. The best is yet to come. I can't remember if that's the song, right? But anyway, it was.
No, that wasn't.
Oh, was it? Okay, yeah. The best is yet to come. Which actually is not actually true as far as the series. The best was not to come. The best was behind them.
Yeah.
But watching him sing, I'd watched 25 years ago, I'd watched all the episodes, but I think I remember that one like, you know, next time on Deep Space Nine, you know, the holodeck has gone awry and Vic Tontaine is in trouble and they must pull off a heist. I was like, I don't know if I necessarily need to see that one. I made some strategic choices, but all right. So we've now covered 3 episodes of Star Trek. Let's see. Should we just clean sweep a couple of them, buddy? Should we just like just go for broke and talk about what was that one you saw with Beverly Crusher? Well, first of all, we saw Suspicions, the one with the murder mystery, right?
Yeah.
We saw that one, the TNG episode Suspicions.
I like that.
It was pretty good. It made me realize that Beverly Crusher was indeed the Sherlock Holmes, after Data stopped doing that, of all mysteries. Because we also saw Cause and Effect.
Which I didn't realize how big of a part she was in that.
Neither did I. Yeah, she was really on board on that. We saw that because if you check out our Facebook page, the doctor, Kim Miller, sent us a postcard, or actually an envelope from Captain Morgan Bateson from the Bozeman. Remember that? I showed you that.
that's how he got into doing that. Because you saw the Bozeman and you wanted to do a podcast.
And so we watched Cause and Effect. And I was actually going to do a podcast where we're going to loop over every single time and like do like 10 different openings for the... But I figured maybe we'll do that sometime.
We'll do that again.
We'll do that sometime. But and it's funny because I watched Cause and Effect, which is about time travel and looping. And then I watched Bandersnatch, which is all about time travel and looping.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
You didn't like Bandersnatch. It freaked you out.
Bandersnatch, yeah.
Okay, we won't talk about Bandersnatch. And then I watched a movie called The Endless, which is also about time looping. So it was very, all in the course of like 24 hours. It was kind of freaky. I was in my own time loop. But it is interesting. Like we won't deep dive on either of those two, but it is interesting to note that towards the end of like the 4th, 5th, and 6th, 7th seasons, Beverly became more of the, because she also was in Remember Me.
Yeah, that was 3rd season.
Yeah, so she kind of got beset upon with all these strange mysteries, and mm-hmm. she had to figure it out. They kind of like, well, she won't ever solve any medical problems anymore. She's just going to be put in these strange, like time loop things and alternate universes.
Yeah, I kind of forgot that she was the doctor.
A lot of people forgot she was the doctor.
What are you doing here? I need you to watch an episode of Deep Space Nine. As we were talking about this,
yes,
I remembered an episode that I came out and I said, Dad, you have to watch this. And as always, you're like, oh, I've probably seen it, but I need you to watch this because I've watched 410 episodes that year.
So I want you to listen to me right now. I want you to listen. I'm so proud of my son. He got, after the Orville finished, he got interested in Next Generation in 2018. And he has watched 410 Star Trek episodes. Can you say the same in 2018? Can you say the same for your life? Have you watched 400? Can I say the same? Now, I probably have, and I certainly have rewatched episodes enough. But still, this child right here, this 14-year-old, has eclipsed what most of us have done for Star Trek. What have you done for Star Trek? What have you done for me? What have you done for, I just want to talk about Star Trek. Have you left a review on iTunes? That's super useful for us. Give us a 5-star rating. Seriously, that helped push up our rating. So, anyway, so Kiernan, you this long preamble. What is the episode?
It's called In the Cards.
In the Cards. Okay.
In the Cards. It's it's the most ridiculous episode I've ever watched. I've watched so many. So many ridiculous ones. Voyager, Deep Space Nine, Next Generation, Enterprise.
Ridiculous funny or ridiculous bad?
Funny.
Okay.
It's just so incredible. It's like, you could believe that they were high.
Mm-hmm.
I need you. We should watch that.
Okay.
Right when this podcast is done, Dad.
Oh, I don't know about that. I've got
to
go.
I need the podcasters out there to see this behavior from my father.
Well, it is true. Kieran asked me to watch a lot of the episodes, and I kind of have to set myself up to watch these. I kind of have to steel myself for it sometimes, because a lot of my writing tendencies pop out. It's like, oh man, you know, this is, you know, I have to, okay, this is kind of slow, and they're killing time for this, and so I turn into a little more of a writer and start analyzing it. But I've watched a lot of Enterprise with you.
That's true.
We watched, what was the one we just watched, which I enjoyed? Was Shran?
Yeah, that one was pretty good. Let me look at it. It's 15.
We're going to do an episode, a fan appreciation of Jeffrey Combs episode soon, because he is
Proving Ground,
which was pretty good. I actually, to be honest, I liked Bada Bing, Bada Bang, and Proving Ground was pretty good too. I really, the more I watch it, the more I'm enjoying Enterprise seasons 3 and 4, and Shran. And some of the other characters around, but Shran really, Jeffrey Combs just,
so good.
He's so good, and I feel like he understood Star Trek by that point in time more than the rest of the series regulars. And Scott Bakula is a great actor, but I just don't know if he quite hit the mark on this, and he leaves this void a little bit that Shran jumps in as kind of a bigoted, kind of, I make these kind of impulsive decisions, almost like Captain Kirk kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're actually a great team. They're really great because Shran pushes Archer into doing all sorts of interesting things.
Yes.
And Archer opens up Shran's eyes to things. So when they're together, the show is amazing.
Okay.
And all these other humans just fall off to the side, like, you know, Mayweather and Trip and all these, you know, goofballs.
Trip is fine. Mayweather, who else?
He becomes, well, Mayweather and who's the other guy, the security officer?
Malcolm. Oh my gosh. Those two are just the power couples of boring and dumb.
Yeah, they're boring and dumb. Captain Boring? Commander Dumb?
Captain Boring. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, even Hoshi is kind of, we haven't heard from her. She's going to be on the podcast, so we still love her. Although I did call her Yoshi, but that's all right. It's me, Yoshi.
We all believed it. I think Kim was there as well. Who else was there?
No, Kim wasn't there. She commented on it.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, someone was there.
She didn't catch it until later. That was
Yoshi.
All right, so
okay.
This is spectacular because we have covered the Orville, we have covered Deep Space Nine, we have covered Enterprise, and I'm going to give you my 5-second review of
Suspicions.
No, not Suspicions. No, Discovery's Short Treks, The Escape Artist, written by my friend Mike McMahon. Who has his own series on right now, and I just got an email about that. So,
really,
but I'm not gonna read it. So I don't know what it says. But as he is a friend, although he has written for my one time nemesis Rainn Wilson, who also directed it, I will say it's a pretty good episode. It's not bad. It suffers a little bit. The writing's pretty good. It suffers a little bit from lack of budget and doing a one act play in the bridge with no cutaways until the very end, the last like 2 or 3 minutes. And then it's a fun reveal. If you haven't seen it, there's some fun to it. But for the first 15 minutes, I was like, okay. Well, I mean, good writing, some clever moments, good acting, but we're stuck on this set. And then it kind of moves away from that. So I feel like that kind of hampered a little bit. If I had to, and if you check out I just want to talk about Star Trek Facebook page, you'll see my rankings of them, of the episodes, and I will tell you, listener, that if you reverse that ranking, that reversed list is actually the most Star Trek-y, in my opinion. So this has been great, Kiernan. We'll make this a short trek here of our own because you're already yawning and kind
I'm
of bored.
Not yawning. I'm stretching.
Keep on putting the Equinox on that table, and it makes weird rattling sounds.
I'm ready to keep on talking about Star Trek.
Well, I know we are, but I want to keep these kind of short and sweet. And but this is great because we have covered a lot of episodes, and as 2019 hits, 2019 everybody is going to be great. It's going to be amazing. Now I have to get Kim and Jason back on board because I feel like it's harder and harder to corral those two to get on the show. But we do have Dan Merle. I was at Dan Merle's birthday party, and his girlfriend Mara, who was trying to convince me that Sub Rosa was a good episode. I'm not necessarily off board with that, but Kieran hasn't watched that, so we're going to have them. We'll have some Earl Grey tea with them. We'll sit down. We'll talk about Sub Rosa. We're going to have so much fun because the blinders are off. I don't care. I'm just going for everything in 2019, and so are you, because you love this show, and you're going to tell friends about this. Tell your friends. Give me a 5-star rating on iTunes. This is the best Star Trek podcast ever, and we're gonna start making sure people understand that. And you know why? Because I'm Mike McCafferty.
And I'm Kieran McCafferty.
And I just want to talk about
Star Trek.
Destruct sequence completed and engaged.
Don't you understand?
When the train comes in, everybody rides.
Your daddy can put them up, can he?
Strike limits. Claim the dark troops salt.
Big Chief, take a seat.
Way link complete. Way link.